Good afternoon, Savannah, and welcome to Connect. How are you?
I'm really good, thanks, Nigel. Thank you for having me.
That's all right. It's a pleasure. It's been about a year since we last spoke, I worked out, so obviously a lot's happened in that time. Where am I speaking to you today?
So you are speaking to me today from the Pilbara in good old Western Australia. I'm actually in a donga at the moment at my village. And yeah, I work in a mine site. Definitely an interesting job, but I love it.
We just played a couple of your recent releases. And of course, the first one I played was Where the Rivers Meet the Sea. And then I played a song called Magnolias, which you'll know well because it was your last single. I've been playing your music for quite some time. And I had this incident the other day. Someone I've recently joined Yarra Valley FM, and one of the other announcers said to me, he said, what's that song you play? And I said, which one? I'm playing hundreds of songs, of course. And he said, that thing about Magnolias, what's that about? So he said, I think it's great. Can I start playing it? So that's where it went. He's playing it now too, I think, which is good for him. So
always love hearing stuff like that. Thank you.
Well, that's good. But how do you approach writing songs? You're sitting up there in the Pilbara on your tractor or grader or whatever. How do these things come to you? Like, for example, Where the River Meets the Sea. What's that about?
I've always felt like, you know, there's a lot of people that are prolific writers and they practice their craft a lot. And I've never found that the case for me. I'm not a prolific writer and inspiration will just come to me. And definitely being out here, being surrounded by this beautiful country, this beautiful land, it inspires me when I'm out here at work. I don't have a guitar, but I write a lot of poetry, which I think is, for me, the start of a good song anyway. And yeah, Where the River Meets the Sea, I wrote that quite a few years ago, and I live, for the last 20 years, I've been living in a small town near Moore River, which is about an hour north of Perth, and it's where Moore River meets the Indian Ocean. Yeah, that's how I distinguish my town, Where the River Meets the Sea. And yeah, it's just about growing up in a small country town and, in a sense, kind of wanting to get out and go somewhere new, but knowing that we got to make sacrifices to get to where we want to go, and there's stepping stones in life. So yeah, all of my writing is from, you know, just life and inspiration and
personal experience, you know. So for example, if someone drops a phrase, does that sometimes register with you?
Definitely. My new single Someday Somewhere, someone actually mentioned those words and in a conversation, in context, and I don't know, it's like, it's funny, it's like I need to have lots of little light bulb moments and the song comes together. Like, I might be feeling the urge to write or feeling a bit stuck on in life or something, and then it's like life puts this little sign out for me and it's like, hello, and someone says something and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, it's all connecting the dots for me, and that's what makes me sit down and write a song. So it's really beautiful how it works.
So Magnolias, tell me about that one.
Yeah, this is a great story. I wrote Magnolias firstly as a poem after watching the movie Still Magnolias.
Oh, yeah,
which
yeah.
I suggest everyone to watch it. It's obviously, yeah, such a beautiful movie about this group of women that kind of navigate life together in America in a small country town. Anyway, it really moved me and wrote the poem. And then one day I was thinking about my nana, and I feel like this happens to a lot of people, you know, whether man or female. I just came to the realization of how beautiful and strong my nana was and all the stuff she'd been through, you know, back in the day, and the sacrifices that she's made for me, not just her, but all the women, you know, that have come before me in life. And yeah, it was just like this light bulb moment. And I actually started writing this song, not even thinking about the poem. And, you know, it started off with Sometimes I Wonder Why I'm Here. It was kind of about what am I doing with my life? And then it kind of went to Magnolias and it was like, you know what, I'm a strong woman and I'm creating my own path forward, like all the women that have come before me. And then I grabbed the poem. So yeah, it's just funny how it all works out.
I find the quality in your songwriting is quite wistful, and I think you probably just described that, you know, in the way you addressed Magnolias and Where the River Meets the Sea before you. And I picture you sitting down there perhaps with a guitar and putting this together. All right, it's come from a poem that you've done before, but you've connected the dots, and now you're sitting down and sort of, probably doesn't happen as instantly as I'm saying it, but is that picture fairly sort of accurate?
Yeah, definitely. It's all very much life lessons for me. It's funny, a lot of my songs are about also transmuting some sort of pain into hope or that good things will come. I turn a lot of things, you know, I give it a positive twist, which I think is a great way to be. And for me, that's just what has what aligns in my songwriting. You know, it's stuff that's happened in my life. You know, I'm an authentic songwriter. I don't like to just randomly make stuff up. I can't just go, I'm going to write a song about a bear today. I have to actually, really feel it, and it has to be something I can connect to.
I think that comes across in your writing, and that's...
Thank you.
And as you said, the great thing is everyone has negatives in their lives or things that haven't quite gone right or whatever. But the fact that you can put an up spin on that and create some happiness out of it is a great thing, because, I mean, we all get depressed, but we've got to find ways out. And if you do that through music and then, as you say, put a hopeful spin on something, other people can use that as inspiration, which is great.
Yeah, definitely. I think, there's a lot of music coming out that doesn't, I'm not trying to judge, but it doesn't have that quality. I'm thinking of, like, big pop artists and all that.
Came up to my
stuff,
mind as well.
But it's good to have music that has depth and that meaning. Obviously, all songs have a place in the world, but that's the kind of stuff that I think keeps me going.
So when did all this start for you? I mean, when did you first get an interest in music? Was it something that was happening around the home, or is it something that you did of your own volition? And when did it all begin for you?
My dad played guitar when I was really young. Like, he just fiddled around in the living room, and he still does play guitar. We should actually play together more often. I saw him just fiddle around on it, and I always had a keen interest. So at 7, I picked up the guitar and focused on that. And then, I worked hard on that for a while. It's kind of hard as a young kid to kind of hone in on the craft. We get distracted by things.
Get your fingers around the fretboard to start with.
Yeah. And then high school came along, and I just felt a bit on the outs, didn't fit in. And then I started singing songs in my room and singing covers and started writing my own material. And for me, that was, my way to express myself, my voice. So ever since singing, I haven't stopped, and I feel like that's been the magic. Playing guitar and singing is what I needed. And after school, I studied music for 2 years, formed my first band, Spanner and Strays, and I've been doing it ever since.
Where did you study music, at university or somewhere? Or
I studied music at TAFE. It was an advanced diploma in music. And I tell you what, it was the best 2 years of my life. It was so much fun.
I was going to ask you how a self-made musician adapts to formal training.
Well, it's funny. I feel like with TAFE, where I studied, it's very much, it's not so much theory-based. It's more practical. And I was advanced diploma in performance. So it was very much like we'd have to perform, and that was video, then we'd have to watch back in front of the class our performance.
Bit painful sometimes.
So what we can do better. So very practical, which was great, and stuff about emails and getting gigs, and it was very good.
Okay. You've won a lot of Western Australian Music Awards, I noticed, along the way, which is congratulations on those.
Thank you.
And I guess they're endorsements by sort of professional music associations and your peers as to where you've come, that you've reached the stage. Obviously, these are competition-based mainly, so you've been picked out amongst a whole sea of competitors as having something special, whether it be a particular song or the way you've written it or whatever that is. But I imagine that gives you a lot of encouragement, but it also gives you a lot of faith in where you are. Would that be fair?
Yeah, definitely. It is, awards, I say this to everyone, awards don't mean everything,
yes.
Like, there's so many successful artists that will never get awards in their lifetime, but it definitely feels nice to be recognized. I've been doing this for over 10 years now. I've put in the hard yards for so long, and like any muso, traveled and done gigs for Diddley Squat for exposure, and I don't know, when you put in that hard work, it is nice to be recognized on that level. It does feel good.
So do these endorsements or awards, do they create work opportunities in themselves? I'm looking at Savannah, don't know anything about it. Oh, she's won this award. Does that sort of help you to get to get gigs sometimes?
I would assume so. Like, I can't give you like a direct correlation, but I do think that in regards to maybe festivals and definitely gig opportunities, as soon as people and actually recently I got a gig opportunity. He was like, oh, you sent me your website, and I read it through, all your accomplishments and all that, and I think he was quite impressed seeing everything written in there as well as my awards. So it definitely does
So it does
help.
Work, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. I mean, because, you know, it's nice to be get the accolades, but it's nice also that they can lead to something on occasions, like work.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. In case you're wondering, folks, I'm speaking to Western Australia singer-songwriter Savannah Solomon. And she has a very different lifestyle to most of us, I guess. And I'm going to talk to her about balancing that lifestyle because we know that she's a singer-songwriter. We've learnt that so far. But she's also a fly-in, fly-out grader operator in remote parts of Western Australia, including the Pilbara, where she's speaking to me today. My question to you is this. How do you combine both? Very easy question. Hard to do, I guess.
I find it super easy because I'm at work. You know, and I do still find immense inspiration. I can still do some of my music, you know, like this interview, and I've got my laptop with me. I can send emails. But, yeah, when I'm at work, I'm at work. And when I'm not at work, I completely shut off from work and then I'm doing another job. I'm a musician. It's really good like that. I can completely shut off from one another and there's no distractions and, yeah, completely different jobs too. There's no way this job can kind of get in the way. Yes, it does, I guess, flying – being away for 6 months of the year, working week on, week off, but it's definitely, I tell a lot of people this, it's given me the gift of reassessing gigs and going, what gigs are worth me taking time off for? So what is actually valuable to me?
So in a normal course of events, you fly in, you do a week and then you fly out again, or do you stay there for longer than a week?
Yeah, so fly in, do a week of days, week off, and then fly in again, do a week of nights.
Oh, okay. So you're constantly backwards and forwards. It's not like you're stuck in the Pilbara.
Yeah, constantly backwards and forwards. But I do find having that entire week off, you know, like I've someone that really enjoys travelling Western Australia. I'm actually going to be heading to Melbourne soon, which is really exciting for a gig. Not that I can announce that yet. I'm not too sure.
Well, we won't ask the next
festival.
Question then. Okay.
But, yeah, it just – if I didn't have this job, you know, this financial security, I wouldn't be driving to all these gigs and flying to Melbourne for my week off, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's given me more time in a sense instead of doing a 9 to 5. So, yeah, I feel very blessed.
Okay, you seem to have a fascination for travelling Western Australia. You just mentioned that to me. And so travelling enormous distances to country fairs and rodeos and gigs at pubs or whatever. Do you manage to travel alone or how do you go about that? I presume you have to drive.
The majority of the time, yeah, I do travel alone. I love it. It's something that 6 or 7 years ago I went on my first ever road trip up to Broome and back by myself. And, yeah, I don't know. It's just something about being by yourself on the road and especially out here when you're driving some of these areas, especially up to Broome and you're completely surrounded by the outback. It's pretty cool. I suggest everyone to do it.
It'd be daunting if you break down, wouldn't it?
On a road trip by themselves.
A bit daunting if you break down, is it?
Oh, I haven't had that yet, but I tell you what, before my first road trip, my dad made me change the tyre on my van that
Fantastic.
Made me come in front of him.
Fantastic. Well, that's great. I mean, he obviously thought ahead of what obstacles you could come across. All credit to him for thinking of that. And I guess whilst you haven't used the experience, I guess when and if it happens to you, God willing, I think I know how to do this.
Yeah, hopefully I remember. It's a long time ago that I did that.
Well, perhaps next time you go home, Dad needs to teach you, to run you through the course again. It's called revision.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. Last time we spoke, which is over a year ago, I think, you confessed to me that you had this, you described you as an op shop tragic. Are you still that particular tragic?
Yeah, still a tragic, definitely.
So what sort of little hidden treasures have you come up with?
Got so many different treasures. Clothes. A lot of the clothes I pick, you know, I use for outfits for my photo shoots. In my music, I've got my typewriter. I've got, I found a didgeridoo and I bought
that. But can you play it?
You know? No, I can't. I'd love to. But just so many bits and pieces. And it's funny, it gives me inspiration for my music. I released a song called I Don't Know You Anymore and literally.
That was quite a while ago though, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it's funny, in the single cover artwork, I've got a Walkman and I've got this 90s dress on and all of it I got from the op shop, so it was awesome, you know, finding these things and adding them in.
And I bet the dress on the cover of Magnolias came from that op shop, did it?
Oh, I wish it did actually. That
Oh,
one was a
didn't?
new one. That was beautiful.
I'm sorry. Not saying it looked old or anything, but I just thought it fitted the mood of the, because you sound were surrounded by white magnolias, as you would. And so there it is.
Yeah. No, it's all
Okay.
good. I take it as a compliment when someone asks
Okay,
that.
well, that's good. I got that one well then. So, look, I'm about to play your new single because it's called Someday Somewhere, which to me is has that same delightful, wistful quality I spoke about earlier. Tell us the background of that one.
I wrote Someday Somewhere about 2 years ago, and it was kind of at a time in my life where I don't know, I was in a bit of a rut. I was waiting for a job to begin, and with that, I didn't have any money at the time, so I couldn't do anything. So I was broke, obviously unmotivated, and just I felt like my life was in limbo waiting for this job to start. I was waiting for 3 months, and I was just like, what am I doing with my life? And I started writing these lyrics down. I was like, oh, what's the start of Magnolias? I'm trying to remember it now. Sometimes I wonder why I'm here. This time, this place surrounded by fear, and that's how I felt. And then I kind of got the inspiration from my nana, and it was like all her strength and beauty. And and that poem I previously wrote, and it turned into Magnolias. I mean, oh, sorry, I'm writing, singing about Someday
I was just
Somewhere,
going to move you
bloody
there.
hell.
It's okay. So, well, we know how you wrote
Sorry.
Magnolias. Now we're armed with that bit of information. Tell me about Someday Somewhere.
It's actually it's very similar actually. Someday Somewhere, exactly what I was saying before about a trying time in my life. I was waiting for a job to start and all that, and then I wrote Someday Somewhere, and it was kind of like a song I wrote pretty much for myself. It was all the things that I wanted to tell myself, things that I had certain worries
Reassurance
about.
that we're going to get out of this rut and move on.
And so it was like a little pep talk song I wrote specifically for myself, and I guess for anyone that's going through a hard time.
There you are, folks. If you're feeling a bit down, don't know what's coming around the corner, and you want to get out of a rut, you need to get this song. It's called Someday, Somewhere. There it is. And we're going to play that in a minute, folks, so you can get inspiration from that one. Where can people access your music or purchase your music? How does that happen?
So I'm on all the streaming platforms, but if you really want to support an artist, which always means the world, you can find my songs on Bandcamp as well. That's you can download my songs digitally.
From Bandcamp, yep.
It's just anywhere. And then my website, I've got Instagram and Facebook, and I have a website, and that'll
Okay.
link you to where you can find my
And the
songs
website's
too.
www.savannahsolomon.com. And Savannah's with one N, isn't it?
One N and a H at the end.
Very economically done. There you are. She's swapped the second N for an H at the end. That's how you do it. Savannahsolomon.com. There it is.
Thank you for having me, and sorry so much about that mix-up too. I'm doing night
That's all
shifts,
right.
so please bear with me, audience.
It's all fun. In fact, that's great. Savannah, thank you very much for your time this afternoon. And
No worries.
I hope you get back to day shift soon. And I'm looking forward to further releases from you. And folks, go to the website. As we said, you can pick up her music there. And Bandcamp is a really good place, or her website's an even better place to find it. So there it is. Savannah Solomon, thank you for your time today. We're going to play, and we're going to go out with your brand new single, Someday, Somewhere.